Dave's got guests. Well, one guest, Ms. Karen Young, actress for quite a few years now, has done more than a dozen films and is currently off-Broadway in a show called Cheat, and you can also see her as a recurring character on The Sopranos. Tell us a little bit about that character, first of all.
In The Sopranos?
Please.
I am playing an FBI agent who is now dogging Adriana. You know, the undercover FBI agent was exposed. So they have brought in another FBI agent, but it's not undercover. It's all up above. She has to report to us and tell information to us. If she doesn't, she'll go to jail for 25 years for possession of cocaine.
Aha. Okay. And tell us about Cheat, which I think runs till November 3rd.
November 3rd.
At the Women's Project Theater, is now called the Women's Project. It used to be a theater company in a different building, like Theater 4.
It used to be at American Place Theater. And they've recently got their own building at on 55th Street. On the corner, you know, it's near between 9th and 10th Avenues. So, yeah.
Okay, but tell us more about the play and what it's about and your...
Well, it's Cheat is written by Julie Jensen. She is from Michigan. She lives in Utah now. And it's a beautiful story. It's the story of two women working in a munitions factory at the end of World War II. The end of World War II is significant to the play because they have been working these years, you know, when the men were off on the front, the women are home, you know, having the jobs. It's about the relationship between myself and a younger woman. I have a son who was her girlfriend. And he finds out that she and I are having an affair, gets very upset, runs off and enlists in the final days of World War II and is killed.
Okay.
So the play deals with the aftermath, you know, how that changes, obviously, their relationship and what becomes of her, the young girl.
Right. I mean, it's a sad, dramatic story, but since we want to sell tickets, let's remember there is a lesbian subtext. So this is radio.
Yeah,
we have to
is that not clear?
Push that. Yeah. No, just reminding people
yeah.
that's there.
Well, it was kind of shocking when I read it.
Because of the time period, you weren't expecting that being there, or?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting an older woman and a younger woman.
Works for me. No, I'm just
Well, it's, you know, the older man, younger woman is a familiar scenario. Older woman, younger woman is not so commonly represented, I don't think. And especially when you think back to World War II, you have a lot of preconceptions. Oh, you know, I think a lot of people think homosexuality probably didn't even exist back then. You know, it was a product of, you know...
It didn't exist in media. It didn't exist in upper, you know, culture above ground, as it were.
Right. So to have a play that dealt with it, you know, in a beautiful way, I might add, but it is, and it's not explicit, but it is obvious.
Well, you just lost a lot of ticket sales there, but still.
Yeah.
But you actually have a family, and you've been living in New York City for a period of years, even though you do quite a bit of movie work. Some of the films that you've been in include everything from Hoffa and Birdie and Heat, Torch Song Trilogy as well, to the $10 million Getaway and Handgun and Jaws 4 The Revenge, which never forget. But, I mean, are you commuting back and forth constantly, or do you kind of make New York, because you have kids and stuff, your home base?
No, I stay here. I go to Los Angeles for business trips for 2 weeks at a time, generally about three times a year. But the rest of the time I'm here. So when I get a film, that usually involves travel, so I'll go on location. But the last couple of years I have been fortunate in doing television in New York, which I wish there was more of, because it's such a great way to make a living and you don't have to leave home. So I have done Third Watch, I've done Law and Order, Criminal Intent, and I just did a new Law and Order, you know, back in
the
February.
Original, right.
Mm-hmm,
the first one before
show.
The other eight. Yeah.
Yes, and now, of course, The Sopranos. you know, which is just great.
Have you noticed that the industry here for television and film has changed at all since 9/11?
No, I think it, you know, I remember right after 9/11, I had an audition 2 days after 9/11, and they kept it. You know, and I thought, gee, this is odd, but I guess, you know, things go on, and so I went to it. Things were subdued. It was down on Canal Street. So
oh, my
it was
gosh.
A little, yeah, I mean, it was when we came out of, and I came out of the subway, it was quite... it was quite a shock. I mean, it was all closed off and everything.
Right. Which was that the one at Playwrights Horizons, that show? Was the Wax you were in about a year?
Yeah, that was... I had done the Wax before then. That was in the autumn of 2000. And that closed in January of 2001. So that was before that.
Oh, okay. So what show was that? Or was that a show that you ended up not doing? Or
That was just an audition for a film.
Ah, gotcha.
That I didn't get.
So what movie?
I don't even remember. To be honest with you, I can't... Wait a minute. I can't... Oh, it was about the life of Harvey Pekar.
That name rings a bell.
Yeah, he was the comic strip writer.
Oh, is it the
Ink Cat? Had to do with the... Crumb and all those guys. You know, it was about his life, though. But it was a film. It wasn't a documentary.
Yeah. Speaking of, actually, one of the questions I was going to ask you, one of the weird ones was, have there been films that you've been up for that you really wanted and didn't get, and would you be willing to say what some of them might have been?
Oh, well, it's an odd thing. You know, I was up for a film about the end of the world that I really wanted, and...
It wasn't Until the End of the World of Invenders.
It was called Miracle Mile. And it was, I just thought it was just this wonderful script, you know, and it was, this young man finds out that the world is ending by accident. And so he has fallen in love with this woman that day. So he decides he's going to go and tell her and save them both. And in the end of the movie, you know, they're both, obviously they're going to die, and it's very, very sweet.
Yeah.
And it was very... I just wanted to do it, you know. I mean, it was about them, so you're on screen the entire time, and it was just about them.
Did it get... Do you know if it got made?
And oh, sure.
Who? Oh, I'm not familiar with the film.
Yeah.
So, do you remember who was in it?
Mayor Winningham got the part.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I can't remember who the man was. But it was just one of those movies that just kind of grabs your imagination, and I just really wanted to do it. And I remember being upset not getting it. And I'm usually not upset about not getting things. I mean, you can't be upset and have, you know, have a longevity in your career, because it just takes too much out of you.
Speaking of upset, another question that I've been asking since I've been doing interviews for a few years now in various media is, especially of actors and performers, your most embarrassing stage moment, either being part of or witnessing from the wings or...
Well, I was in A Lie of the Mind.
The Sam Shepard play.
Yeah, directed, written and directed by Sam Shepard. Geraldine Page had been the original mom for me, and it was very upsetting to lose her. The woman who took her place, she and I didn't get along. And one night she came in, and she was supposed to come in, say her line, and shut the door. And she didn't. She wouldn't let go of it. So I took it. And we fought over the door, and I slammed it shut.
Yeah.
And we were just all kind of shocked on stage. I was just angry. You know,
were the characters playing into that? Were they characters that did not get along?
Yeah. Yes and no. Yeah, you could read it that way. It was definitely appropriate. It was definitely appropriate to do. It was a little. It was not the staging as it had been staged. But then again, she didn't do the staging as she had been directed. So I kind of took charge in a way, you know, I probably should not have.
Well, were there repercussions? I mean, what happened in the next show?
Oh, there were no repercussions. I mean, how can there be in the theater? I mean, that, you know, what you have up there is what you're getting. There's no going back.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying the next time you did the
scene, with
the
her?
Scene she just
closed
the door.
She did what she was supposed to. I remember that.
Well, And you did not speak again, except on stage.
We worked it out, you know. But cool. it wasn't embarrassing, but it was sort of not. It wasn't embarrassing. I just have to say it was a little
uncomfortable.
Yeah, uncomfortable. There was a third actor on stage who had to deal with it all.
Okay.
No, it wasn't just us.
Yeah, but no, I've heard stories much, much worse than that. Let me close on something a little lighter, and basically wondering, and another question I tend to ask everybody, when did you realize that acting was going to be it for you? How old were you? Did you see a particular performance somewhere? What was it?
I was 19, and I was in my junior year of college. I was an English literature major, and I took an acting class. Someone said, why don't you just take an acting class? I have a feeling you would enjoy it. So I did. And I was very fortunate in that I got a wonderful acting teacher, one of the few people who could teach acting.
Who would this be?
His name is David Galikowski. He has since died. And
But he's still a wonderful acting teacher, and just, slower.
Yeah. But he took me aside and said, you have to pursue this. I was just waiting for someone to tell me what to do with my life, you know, waiting for some sign. You know, I had no idea. I knew I was an English literature major and liked to read books, but I said, okay, I will. But it was too late. I was already a junior, and I didn't want to go back and start the theater program over from scratch. So I came to New York instead and started studying independently with an acting teacher named Paul Austin at the Image Theater Studio on 42nd Street, and I took voice lessons independently with Ann Sachs. She teaches at Juilliard now. So I had two very good teachers, you know. I did scene study with Paul, and I did voice work with her.
And do you still take any classes, or do you have a tutor, or how do you brush up?
Well, I do movement class twice a week, and that's I find it essential. You know, it keeps you limber, and it keeps you in touch. You know, it keeps your head, your heart, and your body all connected. You know, and during those periods when you're not working, it's very easy to just kind of focus on the fact that you're not working. And, you know, it's very grounding to do movement. It's not a dance class, although there is music, but it's more of a movement class. And also, whenever I do a role on stage, I have Paul read the script, and then we sit and talk about it.
Cool.
And then he comes to the first preview. So I have my teacher, you know, at that first preview.
And the directors don't balk? I mean, they don't...
Well, it's not about the direction of the play, ever. It's only strictly for... It's me, what I am doing as an actress.
Cool.
Do you know?
Well, what Karen Young is currently doing as an actress is Cheat, off-Broadway, at the Women's Project and Productions Theater on West 55th between 9th and 10th. And you can also see her on The Sopranos, at least for another couple of weeks, as her FBI character continues. Karen, I want to thank you for coming to beautiful Merrick, Long Island, WGBB.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for being on the show.